Greetings, Sun Sounds listeners, and welcome to the Philosopher Program. This is your host, Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Candy Lewis. And welcome to the month of August. We begin our program with some daily selections from Science of Mind, Guide for Spiritual Living. And since it is a new month, we have a new writer for the Daily Guides, Reverend Kelly Robbins. The cave you fear to enter hides the treasure you seek, Joseph Campbell. This month's Daily Guides focus on a powerful emotion, fear. Yes, I forgot to mention the theme for this month is fear, motivator and guide. Fear can be debilitating, and when examined and explored, can serve as a catalyst for growth and awakening. Fear is spirit's personal message that we have an opportunity for healing. If we so choose, fear can offer an opportunity to deepen our oneness with each other and with all of life. Although we often try to avoid fear, this month we explore how to use fear as a springboard for our soul's evolution and personal enlightenment. Reverend Kelly Robbins is a CSL minister and founder of Spiritual Living with Kelly Robbins. Her multifaceted ministry allows her to facilitate life's significant rituals and turning points with reverence and love. She serves the community by honoring loved ones through memorials and celebrations of life, officiating weddings, providing premarital counseling, and serving as a chaplain at both St. Anthony's Hospitals in Denver, Colorado. Robbins is the author of Trust Your Next Step, Creating the Confidence to Cut Fresh Tracks, and the publisher of Reflections with Spirit. Learn more at kellyrobbins.net. But before we share some of the daily guides, we turn to the personal affirmations for the month by Reverend Eugene Holden, Fear, Motivator, and Guide. Accept where you are. We are endowed with many gifts. One is the gift of anger. Anger can guide us to change our lives. I know that underneath most anger is love. Accept where you are in the anger and allow love to guide you to something greater. Affirm, I accept where I am in this situation. I stand in the knowing that I am guided and directed to experience the highest and best for my life now. I affirm that all is well. Perfect love. Fear is a signal that we have forgotten who we are as an aspect of the Creator. Remembering who we are in love greatly diminishes fear. Remember, perfect love casts out all fear. Affirm, I am the perfect love of God, of Spirit, of the universe. There is no place for fear in the vibration of love. I am the way that love shows up. I am perfect love in action. In the presence of love. When we forget who we are in God, in Spirit, in the universe, and fear shows up, stop and take a deep breath. Affirm, I stand in and as the presence of God. As the presence of the Creator, I declare that there is nothing that can harm me. I am surrounded by the love of the One. I stand in the presence of love. Choose a higher way. There is nothing wrong with anger. It is a great way of knowing when something is out of alignment. When you find yourself angry about something, don't suppress it. Choose a higher way of expressing it. Affirm, I now choose a higher path. My life is the life of God, of Spirit, of the universe. There is nothing that can keep me from expressing my highest and best. I choose a higher path, and so it is. And from the Daily Word for August, Inner Peace. With God as my peace, I rest deeply and breathe easily. Guidance. I am guided by infinite wisdom in all matters. Life. I am one with and now fully flourish in divine life. Strength. Through wind and storm, I stand steady knowing God is my strength. Harmony. I am willing to be a presence of divine love in all my relationships. And we return now to Science of Mind for some daily selections. Fear, the antithesis of faith. A man that flies from his fear may find that he has only taken a shortcut to meet it. J.R.R. Tolkien. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1, as quoted by Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind. When I was young, my first corporate job was as a supervisor of a customer service counter. One day, a client walked in asking for a cash refund. Our company policy was not to give cash for refunds in this way. He was angry and threatened us with a gun. I remember standing there, frozen in fear, not wanting to make a bad decision and not budging on the refund. I didn't know what to do. In the corner of my eye, I saw an employee slowly edge toward the safety button under the counter. Thankfully, the customer left without incident. In that moment, I learned something about myself. I freeze in fear. And not everyone responds in that way. Today, there's a good chance I'd still freeze in a fearful situation. However, I now have fewer of those situations, and I have the tools and the confidence to make a decision without fear of being wrong. Ernest Holmes taught that fear is the opposite of confidence, and that fear and trust cannot exist together. I trust myself so much more now than I did as a young woman because of my understanding of how God works. I'm not afraid to make the wrong decision because I trust I am a channel through which God, Spirit, the universe expresses. I have the tool of affirmative prayer to help realize this truth whenever and as frequently as I need it. Affirmation. I am a channel through which God creates. I know the nature of God, Spirit, the universe is love, wholeness, and harmony, and my life reflects that. I am not my fears. Don't give in to your fears. If you do, you won't be able to talk to your heart. Paulo Coelho. It is unthinkable to suppose that God, the creator of all life, gives to some while withholding from others. Ernest Holmes, Living Without Fear, page 31. If I am not my fears, who am I? Your answer to that question affects every aspect of your life. Knowing you are a divine being and that you have all the resources of God, of Spirit, of the universe at your disposal is both empowering and life-affirming. You are an individual expression of the infinite life of God. Answering this one question with spiritual strength allows us to make life decisions with confidence rather than fear. For me, Science of Mind teachings were a catalyst to stop living in fear and lack. My whole life, I was afraid of making a mistake, afraid of not having enough, insecure about not being good enough to accomplish my goals, afraid that I was not worthy of a life filled with love and abundance. This affected my children, my relationship with my husband, and my business. It didn't matter how hard I tried. With fear and uncertainty underlying every action and every decision, I was destined to struggle. A spiritual journey often involves exploring your self-worth, your role in the universe, and your core values. Science of Mind teachings offer a picture of wholeness, oneness, and love in connection with the mystery called God. For example, when I say, I am all the qualities of God choosing to manifest as me in this lifetime, I focus on reflecting the true essence of these qualities in my daily life. What can you do to see the world through the lens of opportunity and safety rather than fear? Affirmation. I am a powerful human being, divinely guided. I honor my worth and know my role in the universe is blessed. And from The Bright Side, quotes to inspire and empower by the editors of Guideposts. Faith is not about finding meaning in the world. There may be no such thing. Faith is a belief in our capacity to create meaningful lives. Terry Tempest Williams, writer. Happiness is not a destination. Happiness is a direction. Arthur C. Brooks, social scientist who studies happiness. Almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you. Anne Lamott, writer. I believe any success in life is made by going into an area with a blind, furious optimism. Sylvester Stallone, actor. Find satisfaction in the doing, and you'll reap the greatest reward, a good habit that lasts forever. Gretchen Rubin, writer. Realize that life is glorious and that you have no business taking it for granted. Anna Quindlen, from her book, A Short Guide to a Happy Life. Everyone you will ever meet knows something you don't. Sign seen at Park Avenue Methodist Church, New York. May we have faith in the goodness in ourselves and others. Sandra Oh, actor. Life gives you the people, places, and situations that allow you to develop what you ask for. Life is very generous that way. Tracy McMillan, author. And we return to the Daily Word for an article by Marion Spivey Sudler, Grace, Faith, and the Unwavering Presence. As I stood at the campus lunch truck, the gray and dreary late afternoon matched my feeling of hopelessness. The kind truck owner often gave me a leftover sandwich or pretzel as he closed for the day. I believe he must have sensed the shame I felt because I was unable to pay for lunch. I was a young college student and single mother coping with too much responsibility. Even so, I resisted asking friends and family for help, telling myself I should solve my problems on my own. I had searched for part-time jobs on the student work-study board, even as I knew the pay would not cover my tuition, transportation, and daily living needs. Then my son and I survived a fire that left us homeless. One day, while sitting in the library contemplating dropping out, I noticed another student walk away and leave behind a little magazine. She did not return for it. As I left, I took it to the checkout, only to be told it was not on loan. I put it in my backpack, hoping to return it when I saw her again. On the train ride home, I flipped through the pages of this magazine, Daily Word. As tears welled in my eyes, I wondered what kind of publication could make promises, such as an ever-present and ever-powerful God. Over the next several days, I continued to look for the student, but I never saw her again. I kept her Daily Word in my backpack and read it as a distraction from the subway noise. At that time, Daily Word contained a little envelope with a prayer request form. Although I was reared in a family of faith and had been a youth leader, I was so busy doing, I hadn't stopped long enough to recognize the presence of God, of Spirit, of the universe, and the power of prayer. In desperation, I asked for help that day by returning the prayer request form. This time, asking for help felt safe because no one at the magazine knew my name or my face. I wrote on the form with a feeling of weariness, thinking, what have I got to lose? Today, the better question comes from what I have gained from the magazine left behind in a library more than 40 years ago. I believe God's unwavering presence has not been by coincidence, accident, or happenstance. I am reminded of God's presence each time I encounter people I think of as grace givers. I found grace through people who staffed financial aid offices and helped me obtain scholarships. Grace shown through clergy, church, and family members who did not ask questions, but somehow rendered a gift of love when I needed it the most. I received grace from those who were with me as I grieved when my entire nuclear family passed away. I discovered grace through strangers who helped me find new housing after the fire left my son and me without a place to live. The grace of God's eternal presence has taught me to quietly rely upon and trust there is an answer and presence for every tested area. I have learned that even when there are no human answers to questions, there is divine omnipotence and omnipresence amid all situations. Ultimately, I graduated and became a licensed counselor. Through my work, I used the spiritual lessons learned during my lean years to help others. Daily Word continues to inspire me to be a bearer of faith, light, and hope, reaching those who need those things most, whoever and wherever they may be. Marion Spivey Sudler is a retired licensed counselor. She now serves as an executive administrative assistant in the AME Church. She lives in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We return to Science of Mind for Reverend Dr. Andriette Earle's monthly column, From the Inside Out. Affirm it so. The person who dares to fling their thought out into universal intelligence with the assurance of one who realizes their divine nature and its relation to the universe, and dares to claim all there is, will find an ever-creative good at hand to aid them. God will honor their request. To the soul that knows its own divinity, all else must gravitate. Ernest Holmes. Sometimes I fling my thought into universal intelligence like a superhero and then bask in the manifestation of my consciousness. And sometimes I require assistance in establishing and maintaining the assurance of one who realizes their divine nature. In either case, I engage affirmations to help remind me of my divinity. The key to success is repetition. Stating an affirmation once is not enough. We must say it with feeling, over and over, until our subconscious believes it. Here's the secret. Put it to music. I put a song that inspires me on repeat and play it for weeks at a time. I intentionally do this until the lyrics morph into empowering affirmations and become turbocharged by the melodies on their ride into my subconsciousness. It is similar to the way many of us learned our ABCs. The tune made it easier for us to keep the letters in correct order and often revealed that we knew more of the letters than we'd consciously committed to memory. My current musical affirmation comes from the brand new Heavies song, You Are the Universe, written by Syda Garrett and Andrew Levy. My favorite lyrics are an antidote to self-doubt. You're a winner, so do what you came here for. The secret weapon isn't secret anymore. You're a driver, never passenger in life. And when you're ready, you won't have to try, 'cause you are the universe. And there ain't nothing you can't do. If you conceive it, you can achieve it. That's why I believe in you. Yes, I do. The lyrical affirmations in this song remind me of how life gets to be the way it is and the consciousness required to make a shift. It also provides me the perfect inspiration for such a time as this. Under the influence of such an empowering message, I find myself in the divine gravitational field where I believe in me and you. And from the same issue, an article by Kathy Julien, When Night Falls, Calling Forth Your Inner Light. One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. Carl Jung. The perception of wholeness is the consciousness of healing. Ernest Holmes. In 2015, I traveled to Kiruna in Swedish Lapland, hoping to see the northern lights from this remote village located a few degrees latitude above the Arctic Circle. Imagine my disappointment not to catch any glimpse of those eerie solar flares. Although that experience did not happen, something more meaningful took place. There, near the top of the world, I discovered an important life lesson. My discovery began when an agent at the local tourist office in Kiruna suggested a tour of LKAB, one of the world's largest iron ore mines, containing vast stores of metals deposited over millennia following intense volcanic eruptions. Descending more than a mile below ground, I stepped out of the mine cage to the startling sight of a veritable city brightly lit and bustling with shops, restaurants, and high-tech apparatus amidst numerous workers in hard hats, all intently attending to a variety of tasks and functions. I felt a stranger in a strange land, disoriented yet transfixed by the astonishing scene before me. Later, as I reflected, that scene came to evoke the buried treasure within our own inner depths, spiritual riches we can mine and thereby bring to light. In his Sermon by the Sea, Holmes refers to the spiritual treasure we all possess. We have rediscovered that which the great, the good, and the wise sang about and thought about, the imprisoned splendor within ourselves and within each other, and we must have direct contact with it. Inspired by these words, let's travel into the rich mines of our depths to reveal the inner splendor residing there. Let's explore ways to bring to light these unrealized aspects of ourselves. As Carl Jung suggested, we release our spiritual light by making the darkness conscious, and in so doing, we reveal our essential wholeness. Exploration leads to buried treasure. During a dark period in my life, I needed to take just such a journey. I felt anything but whole. A sense of being lost in a spiritual desert engulfed me. My husband's vision impairment, the forced isolation and constraints brought on by the pandemic, and a gnawing absence of meaning and purpose plunged me into a spiritual quagmire. One day, unbidden, the recollection of my Kiruna experience came to mind. Something seemed significant about what I witnessed there. An image of buried treasure prompted me to delve into my own interior landscape. What would I discover? Unwilling to stay spiritually buried any longer, I decided to find out. The exploration I undertook into my beliefs, past choices, fears, hurts, habituated behaviors, and unquestioned attitudes gradually led me to experience greater freedom and clarity. My spiritual malaise began to ease. I sensed that a guiding presence lit my way. When we do the work to make our inner darkness conscious, we unveil a more authentic self. Any perception we may have of being inadequate or defective yields to a realization of our intrinsic wholeness as divine expressions. Disintegration leads to integration. So, how do we attain this awakening to the truth of wholeness? What actions enable us to bring to light our divine inheritance of wholeness? How do we mine and reveal our imprisoned splendor? One must have chaos within oneself in order to give birth to a dancing star, Friedrich Nietzsche observed, suggesting that spiritual awakening is usually initiated by a crisis or breakdown. Something shattering befalls us. Life as we know it abruptly collapses. We die to the old to let the new emerge. When we allow this birth to happen, a choice requiring courage and faith, the light of our wholeness shines forth. Disintegration leads to integration as we clear away limiting self-concepts and behaviors that block the realization of our wholeness. Through this purifying process, sometimes referred to as the refiner's fire, we call forth our true self into fuller expression. The refiner's fire is a spiritual metaphor for purification through transformational heat, derived from the ancient process of refining precious metals. At heart, it describes the experience that burns away what is false, heavy, or impure, so what is essential and true can come to light. Both processes, the spiritual refiner's fire and the physical smelting of iron ore, involve stages of heat, separation, and emergence. Smelting iron ore serves as a symbol for spiritual growth effected by the refiner's fire. Just as smelting skims off slag, the heat of the refiner's fire burns away the old identity. Consider these actions to facilitate this release and thereby reveal your deep self. Pause before acting to discern what is true for you. Turn your attention to what really matters. Welcome ways to be helpful. Focus on others more than on yourself. Foster a sense of connection through community and group involvement. Light your creative spark. Breathe mindfully and fully embody your breath. Relax the emphasis on thinking. Inhabit the moment you're in right now. Consciously noticing how we show up in the world tends to bring out the best in us. Acts of kindness and self-care like the ones suggested above, as well as others such as listening, smiling, acknowledging thoughtfulness, keeping promises, slowing down, sitting in the silence, expressing gratitude, and being fully present are all simple but effective ways to activate the God qualities already present within each of us. In his book, The Mystic Heart, Wayne Teasdale writes, "The heart of the spiritual life, the enduring substance of the journey, is the refinement of our own inner landscape, humility, egolessness, selflessness, that occurs through spiritual practice." Some time-honored and soul-nourishing spiritual practices highlighted by Teasdale include Lectio Divina, contemplation, centering prayer, and insight meditation. Through these and other forms of spiritual practice, you access your imprisoned splendor. You grow spiritually. But the word grow seems a misnomer. It suggests increase, whereas the discovery of inner splendor, of our divine wholeness, entails more releasing and removal than increasing. I have found that an attitude of humility, not knowing, creates an opening for spirit to take its rightful place in my life as the knower. Who are you? Who am I? The answer isn't a role, title, profession, or any other worldly status. The question helps us discover the essence of who we truly are as spirit in expression. On the journey of mining our inner treasure, as we bring to light the hidden beliefs that inhibit our full aliveness, we can then take the necessary actions to transform these limiting beliefs into an empowering awareness of our inherent wholeness and live it. Referring again to Sermon by the Sea, we find Holmes' elaboration of this inner transformation. Not through me, but you to me, and I to you through each other. The revelation of the self to the self. We go back into the highways and byways of life with something so great that never again will anything be quite the same. A little more light shall come, a little greater glory added to the glory we already possess, a deeper consciousness, a higher aspiration, a broader certainty of the mind. The living spirit shall through us walk anew into its own creation, and a new glory come with a new dawn. If you long for this new dawn, imagine your life as ore in the furnace and ask what slag you sense rising to the surface, ready to be skimmed off in the gentle, loving crucible of spirit within you. This longing of your soul is a desire for a conscious union with life, infinite and eternal, an omnipresent unity connecting and enveloping all that exists. The longing isn't rooted in looking for something you somehow lost or lack. In the stillness of your being, sense your divine wholeness, Know that you can never be separate or apart from the divine light within you, for the light of spirit is your light. The refiner's fire may plunge us into darkness, but by discovering the treasure of our true self, we emerge renewed and transformed, purified into greater spiritual realization. A conscious perception of wholeness dispels the darkness and lifts us into the light of truth. Begin now to call forth your own inner light. Let nightfall give way to daybreak. We pause for a moment to remind you that you are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, 24 hours of programming from over 300 publications. And you're currently listening to the Philosopher Program with your host, Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Candy Lewis. And if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. You can also take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. Well, I did not get any feedback from listeners on what kinds of books to continue with, so I actually have another one by another animal psychic, Soul Healing with Our Animal Companions, The Hidden Keys to a Deeper Animal-Human Connection. So we're going to continue with this kind of information. This book is for all animal lovers wanting to bring more awareness and light into the heart of their relationships with their animal companions in the name of love. For Kahlua, the first soul to teach me about unconditional love, and she's looks like a black and white kitty, 1988 to 2000. A letter to the reader. Dear animal lover, thank you for choosing to read Soul Healing with Our Animal Companions. It has been my dream for many years to write about the findings of my work with both people and animals. I'm excited to share this information with you so you can better recognize and understand your animal's deeper teachings, just waiting to be revealed. You are their guardians, but they are your teachers. Their teachings have an underlying purpose, to allow in more love and more joy into both of your lives. This book talks a lot about how animals serve you and your family, but I know that if you were drawn to this book, the animals that you have helped, rescued, and shared your home and heart with are better for having had you in their lives. They would not have grown and healed and loved as deeply if you hadn't cared for them as you did. I'm a big believer in the power of stating intentions and affirming them formally, so I want to share with you my firm beliefs and purpose for writing this book. 1. To help people everywhere unlock the potential of a deeper, more conscious relationship with their animals for the benefit of them both. 2. To empower people to trust themselves about decisions they may have to make on behalf of their animal companions. 3. To help people understand their animals and their teachings so that the more difficult times can be easier and the easier times can be even better. And 4. To create more love and less suffering in the hearts of animals and the people who love them. I hope you will think of this book as your morning cup of java for your relationships with all of the animals in your life. It will wake you up to seeing your animals more clearly and give you even more reason to love and appreciate their presence in your life. May you always feel love in your heart, peace in your soul, and the joy of sharing your life with animals. With love, Tammy. And before we go any further into the book, they always put about the author in the back, but I thought we would share that at the beginning to know who it is that's writing this for us. At the turn of the millennium, Tammy was the epitome of the American success story, a top biller and senior partner at a national recruiting firm. But the death of her mother in 1999 was quickly followed by the passing of all three of her beloved animal companions and the sudden recall of horrendous childhood memories. All of this trauma prompted Tammy's spiritual awakening and inner healing journey. In the midst of it all, Tammy's now widely celebrated energetic healing abilities and intuitive gifts emerged. After receiving her first bio and genetic healing session, which produced immediate results, Tammy spontaneously realized her life's purpose. Today, after facilitating thousands of healing sessions with people and animals nationwide and numerous appearances on TV, radio, and podcasts, including CNN's The Daily Share, Primetime Live ABC and The Oprah Winfrey Show, Tammy is excited to share her knowledge and the wisdom she has garnered about the deeper connection that exists between people and their animal companions. Tammy is certified in interface therapy through the Center for Integrative Therapy and is an animal energy healer. She founded the animal ministry at the Southeast's largest Unity Spiritual Center in 2004 and currently facilitates its monthly Praying Paws animal service. In addition to donating weekly sessions to animal rescue centers, she also penned a column called Animals as Guides for Conscious Life Journal and continues to serve on its editorial board. Tammy is the co-author of the inspirational book FAITH, Finding Answers in the Heart. And in 2014, she released the self-help CD, Embracing the Divine Within, Meditations for a Loving, Thriving Life. Together with her cat companions, Sundance and Mai Tai, Tammy makes her home in a suburb of Atlanta, Georgia. For more information about Tammy, please visit Tammy Billups, TammyBillups.com or Facebook.com/Soul Healing with Our Animal Companions, all one word. And I want to share some of her personal acknowledgments. I'm grateful to every animal that has graced my journey, for they've helped me immensely to grow, love, and in turn to serve them. For believing in my dream, I humbly thank those who supported my original campaign to self-publish this book. Each client I've been blessed to work with has also been my teacher, and I send heartfelt gratitude to each one. I also thank those who gave permission to share their stories so that others might learn from them and be helped. While writing, my mantra was, I allow the divine to express through me. This served to remind me of the higher purpose of the words that were flowing through my heart to the pages of this book. Thank you, God, for always having my back and for your ability to get through to my heart no matter the situation. I am so very grateful to consciously be on this journey together. Gratitude for animal rescuers. I would like to thank every person who has ever helped to rescue an animal and or provide a healing environment for them in which they may feel loved and safe. Those who choose to foster and rescue an animal may find themselves on an emotional roller coaster. They are seemingly driven by a higher purpose, and their willingness to help animals, while knowing their hearts could be broken time and time again, is both admirable and courageous. If you're one of these people, please take a moment to breathe in gratitude from every animal you have ever rescued or helped to move forward to a loving, forever home. You have made such a positive difference in their lives. I humbly thank you for your service to the animal kingdom. Introduction. Opening to love. What was happening to me was too horrific to focus on, so I moved my attention only a few yards away where a cat was struggling in the arms of a man who was about to throw her into a raging fire in an old outdoor metal trash can. It wasn't the first time I'd witnessed a cat losing its life at the hands of these same men. As a young child, it is a natural reaction to instinctively check out when something traumatic is being experienced or perceived. Sadly, I'd become accustomed to disconnecting from all of the pain, abuse, and invasiveness happening around and to me. But that particular night was different. While watching this beautiful cat in her final moments, she suddenly turned to look directly at me and we locked eyes. This jolted me back into the present moment. Both of us were helpless to alter our circumstances. And yet somehow our eyes found each other, and then I felt her. I actually felt what she was feeling and thinking. We were not only relating to each other, I could feel our energetic connection as if we were one, heart to heart and soul to soul. I'd never felt more intimately connected to another being in my entire life. Oddly, there was great comfort in this moment for me as a child when the cat and I were one, because I could feel that she was at peace in her soul with what was about to happen. I remember wanting to go with her, but that was not meant to be. That moment was the first time I can remember being able to energetically connect to another soul and know their feelings and thoughts. However, I repressed that ability or gift until the year I turned 40. Most of us remember certain birthdays more than others. Like a lot of people, my turning 40 was not an occasion I welcomed. What I didn't realize then was that the universe was going to pull the rug, or my life as I knew it, out from under me that year. I would repeatedly be brought to my knees in heartbreaking anguish. This would force me to question every thought and belief I'd had up until that point. My mother's final chapter of life a few months after this milestone birthday prompted me to begin opening my mind to what happens after we die. This was in part due to the fact that my mother talked openly about conversations she was having with friends and family who had already passed. They were coming around her to ease her transition to the other side. This was very convincing proof of the soul continuing its journey, which brought me great comfort, but also made me want to know more about our soul's journey. At that time in my life, I was sharing my home and life with my three cats, who were more like children to me. Weeks after returning home from my mom's memorial service, my calico kitty Kahlua passed away from colon cancer. Her transition was actually more difficult for me to handle than my mother's was, because Kahlua had been my first experience of receiving unconditional love. Suddenly, the day after Kahlua's transition, I was able to see energy all around me, everywhere. In that energy, I could see my mother, Kahlua, and numerous other beings that I didn't know and didn't want to know. I was, amazingly, seeing their souls. I was in uncharted territory without a compass. The experience felt incredibly invasive, and I was terrified. I no longer had any privacy because this wasn't anything like a television which I could just turn off. Even more upsetting memories of awful events from my childhood that I had repressed were simultaneously unlocked, like someone who had amnesia suddenly remembering everything. Ideally, people have gone through some type of therapy or healing to begin to develop the inner resources and self-parenting skills necessary to better deal with unlocking the fear and emotional pain of traumatic childhood memories. I had not. I felt broken open at my core, and the endless raw pain and sleepless nights that I began to endure were unbearable, as emotions were released that had been buried for decades. Memories of abuse from many different men surfaced, in addition to my mother's shocking role in much of it. There were also many memories from my childhood of watching animals heartlessly being abused. I'm certain this is now why I've been so drawn to doing all that I can to help and serve them in my life and healing practice. Only months after Kahlua passed away, my other two cats, Vasi and Bailey, joined her in heaven at the young ages of 6 and 8. It's easy now to look back and recognize that all three of my cats left that year because their job was to help me get to that point and no further. They'd been emotionally supporting me in endless ways, ways in which I hope my animals will never have to support me again. Like many before me going through a difficult life-changing period, I wondered when and if my painful experiences would ever end. It took me a while to get to the perks part of having a 0-60 spiritual awakening filled with so many losses. As I searched for help and an understanding of everything I was going through, I eventually was led to a licensed professional counselor who was also a gifted energy practitioner and teacher. My inner healing journey helped me transform my body, mind, and soul so much that I no longer needed the many daily medications I thought I'd be on for the rest of my life. This whole process proved to be the most amazing journey of finding myself, one that most people will never stand in line to buy a ticket for. With the release of each layer of protection around my heart, I came to know gratitude and the spiritual bliss that comes with feeling and being connected to all there is, to God, to nature, and to other souls. It was through my personal healing journey and interfaith therapy certification training that I learned how to interpret what I was feeling, seeing, and sensing energetically. Surely my enhanced vision had happened to me for a reason. At this time, I enthusiastically embraced my true life purpose and opened a practice to help all beings enhance and change their lives through this extraordinary holistic modality of releasing emotional wounds energetically so that the body can do what it knows how to do best, heal itself. It was indeed the worst year of my life, but it was also the best. For it catapulted me into a new way of living and being, filled with love and with the rewarding work that I've been blessed to do for the last 17 years. Every experience, the good ones as well as the not so good ones, helped to create the woman I am today, wherein I am able to share my learnings on behalf of both animals and people so that they may allow more love into their lives. Part 1, The Origin. How is it that animals understand things I do not know, but it is certain that they do understand? Perhaps there is a language which is not made of words, and everything in the world understands it. Perhaps there is a soul hidden in everything, and it can always speak, without even making a sound, to another soul. Francis Hodgson Burnett. 1. My pathway to animals. Given that I've worked with animals all these years, most people assume I grew up surrounded by a menagerie of animals who were my childhood buddies. Unfortunately, I did not. My mother was raised to be a clean freak and a heavy-handed disciplinarian, and the one dog Dad brought home for us when I was in fifth grade did not fare well at her hands. Snoopy was rehomed to a farm where I hope and pray he was able to discharge the toxic energy that 1 year spent living in our home no doubt engendered. Once out on my own, I moved and traveled a fair amount with my career. Thus, adopting a cat seemed to be the perfect antidote to fulfilling my desire for furry companionship. Although I quickly found out that I was highly allergic to cats, I'd become smitten with the unconditional love of my first kitten, Kahlua, so much so that I chose to get weekly allergy shots rather than rehome my beloved pet. Over the following years, my family grew to 3 wonderful felines that I fell head over heels in love with. It would be fair to say that their every need was taken care of with my utmost care and attention. My catharsis. As I mentioned in the introduction to this book, a few months after my 40th birthday, my mother died. Her death occurred 6 weeks after she'd found out she had melanoma. Weeks after my mother's memorial service, my beloved Kahlua joined her on the other side. It wasn't long after Kahlua transitioned that my other two cats, Bailey and Vasi, passed away as well. It was a very difficult time for me, but through that period I awakened to an entirely new way of looking at life. I'd been stuck in the money-will-buy-me-happiness lifestyle up to that point, which, I might add, had not been working. I quickly got a reality check on what was important to me, and newsflash, it wasn't the next promotion. In the middle of all of these losses, I was devastated and feeling raw and endless pain, so I sought out healing help. As it turned out, the counselor I gravitated toward was also an energy therapist, and although I had no idea what that meant at the time, I was open to trying anything that might help me. Immediately after the session, I felt amazingly better. It was unbelievable. I recall thinking that I couldn't remember ever feeling that good before. While still sitting on her practitioner table after that first session, I told her with utmost clarity, "I want to do what you do." After many months of regularly receiving energy sessions and releasing a lot of pain and grief, I enthusiastically signed up for an extensive training program to become certified in the trade so I could begin helping other people heal as well. While in training on how to help people heal by clearing past traumas and emotional wounds held in their energy fields, I began wondering how animals would respond to the same healing process. During my training time at the Center for Integrative Therapy, I learned in depth about the 5 emotional core wounds that people have and how they show up in one's energy field, actions, and behavior. They may even reveal themselves as physical issues. Some of my early findings. When I first began facilitating energy healing sessions on my friends' animals, I found it fascinating to discover that they carried the same energetic patterns and emotional wounding as people do. However, my search to discover more about how these patterns and wounds manifest within animals came up empty. Although I did find a couple of other very good animal energy healing training programs that enhanced my knowledge base, Healing Touch for Animals and Sylvia Hartman's Energy Healing for Animals program, ultimately, it was my years of training to work on people that would contribute the most to my effectiveness in working with animals. I did quickly learn, however, that when I was working with animals, they were frequently sponges of their people's emotions, conscious and unconscious, and mirrored them in many ways. Animals choose to live with people so that they can heal the same issues together, not separately. When I realized this, the importance of my working with both animals and people, to the benefit of both, became abundantly clear to me. The positive results of the early animal sessions I facilitated awakened me to the relevance of this holistic healing modality. I found that energy healing sessions were even more productive with animals because animals don't overthink or question the validity of the work like their 2-legged guardians do. They simply trust and relax into the session with a clear knowing that the energy healing process is a natural one. Animals choose to live with people so that they can heal the same issues together, not separately. Given that there's no such thing as a placebo effect in an animal, the results shared by people who saw immediate and positive changes in their pets were very credible. And there were also many extraordinary healings and positive outcomes I couldn't explain. One of my early clients had been told by her veterinarian that her horse Maxie would never be able to run again because she had developed osteochondritis dissecans in her leg. After two sessions, Maxie was running, an outcome that left the vet scratching his head. By simply understanding her animal's messages, by better interpreting their ailments and behaviors, there can be immediate and positive shifts for you both. I really get the dynamics of how our animals mirror us, for every animal in my life has been a divine messenger that arrived with many teachings, of which I have been an avid student. I want to help you be one too. Essential wisdom. There is so much more to the relationships you have with your animals than meets the eye. Anyone who has opened their heart to an animal knows the bond goes beyond what is said and done. There's an unspoken connection, a knowing between the two of you. Over the years, I've come to realize through my work with people and animals that the soul connection we have with them shows up in a multitude of ways. Many times they're trying to communicate with us, but their messages go under the radar or undercover. This is because our awareness or level of consciousness isn't up to speed about how to best interpret the communication coming our way. As children, we're drawn to animals because of the acceptance and love we receive from them. Animals won't give us a chore to do, tell us we're bad, or worse, abuse us. They are there for us when we are down, seemingly seeing inside us and knowing exactly what we need, when we need it. At the same time, they gift us with the freedom of being our completely authentic selves. We then let them in and love them with our whole hearts because we trust them. With them, we feel completely safe. In time, as the relationship of trust and awareness develops, they become our teachers as well as our most devoted companions. 2. Energy and emotions. Animal lovers all agree that animals have feelings. They feel love, pain, joy, sadness, fear, and even grief. Compared to many people, animals live more from the right side of their brain, so they're more easily connected to their intuition and the energetic flow of divine love. When divine love is flowing through an animal or a person, life is just plain easier. It's more peaceful, healthy, fun, loving, and safe. Everything is energy. All beings have an energy field around and through them. We are all energetic beings having a physical experience. Everything also has an energetic vibration to it, with love being on the highest end of the scale and fear on the opposite end. We are all energetic beings having a physical experience. Emotions are held in the energy field, and repressed emotions and unhealed emotional wounds create congestion or blocks in the energy field. Physical ailments, pain, and even negative behaviors are the result of having congested energy. So, taking good care of your animal's energy fields is vital to the overall health of their bodies and to ensure that physical issues don't develop. How your animals feel is reflected in its energy field. If they're feeling good, their energy will be bright, expansive, and carry a high vibration. If they're sick or depressed, their energy field will contract and be congested, even murky. Energy is something everyone senses at some level. You might just have a feeling something is off with your animal. That's your intuition kicking in. The two of you are so intimately connected that you'll both naturally sense the other's energy. Animals feel all of the changes, stress, and imbalances of their people and the household that they live in. Depending on how much exercise they get, as well as their age, diet, and unhealed emotional wounds, they can feel anxious or depressed, or even have similar health issues that stress causes in their human companions. The good news is that animals are tuned into energy in ways that most people are not, and will instinctively know when they need to have a meditative rest to clear their energy. The not-so-good news is that the closer animals are to their people emotionally, the more likely they are to absorb their energy, which can make it more difficult for the animals to clear their own. Because your animal is more likely to absorb the emotions you are pushing down and not expressing, it's important for you to be proactive in releasing your emotions in a healthy way. Understanding more about the connection between your emotions, your energy, and your health can be a game changer for your well-being as well as the well-being of your animals. A congested energy field can affect all aspects of one's emotional, physical, and spiritual health. Consequently, this knowledge can significantly influence the choices you make about your animal's care. Knowing how sensitive they are to your emotions is also motivation for you to do your own energetic housekeeping. Adding meditation to your daily routine is a great place to start. It's a powerful generator of energetic well-being. Meditation activates and restores balance to your pineal gland. When your pineal gland is fully functioning, you will be better able to sense and feel energy, given that your natural intuition will be restored. Introducing new ways of thinking and healing to your belief system takes courage, because people aren't typically excited about making changes in their lifestyle. I honor you for embracing new, more progressive ways of creating health and well-being for you and your animals. Healing animals with energy. There are many unknowns about how and why energy healing actually works. We can be in our left brain all day long trying to figure it out, but it probably won't do us much good. The process of trusting it requires faith in not knowing all of the details, and instead tapping into your feelings. Receiving energy healing sessions myself allowed my body to heal in ways that mainstream protocols couldn't begin to touch. The bottom line for me was that my body healed, and I no longer needed to take the numerous medications I'd been on. That was enough of a result for me. I've seen the same reaction in my clients and my own animals. That doesn't mean they've never visited the vet. It simply means that energy healing, or bioengenetics, has been a very powerful alternative that has helped them tremendously. Animals are extremely receptive to this work, and healing through the energy field just happens to come with the fringe benefits of being non-invasive and not having any negative side effects. When a trained energy facilitator connects to an animal's energy field with permission and with positive intention, the energy naturally flows where the healer's attention goes. Think of a time when you wanted your pet to come and sit with you and they instantaneously arrived at your side without you having called them out loud. That's not a coincidence. It's because of your energetic connection. The process is similar when an energy practitioner focuses in on their client. Where intention goes, energy flows. During a session, your animal's energy field is naturally being restored and rebalanced while simultaneously getting grounded in Mother Earth. When a trained practitioner is facilitating a session, he or she intentionally connects with the universal flow of energy and becomes a conduit for the highest and best healing to occur. Predictably, in every session, the higher vibrational, yummy emotions like love, compassion, and joy will backfill the void left when lower vibrational, fear-based emotional energy is released. Most animals will simply sink into a peaceful surrender position during the session, indicating their trust in the experience. Often you may see them releasing deep sighs as they expel energy and/or stretch ever so gently to reposition themselves as they feel the energy moving through them. Again, this gentle healing method will help them release any energetic disturbances, toxins, or emotional congestion they are carrying. Once the animal's energy has been cleared, its body is healthier, and this state will induce and promote natural healing to unfold. There are many energy healing modalities and techniques available that different practitioners are trained in and use when working with animals. None is better or worse than any other. It's important to know, though, that the clearer, more grounded the practitioner is, the more productive the animal sessions will be. Essential wisdom. Healing emotional wounds with energy healing or bioengenetics is not a new healing phenomenon. Many people are aware of how this holistic, non-invasive alternative healing modality has the ability to transform lives, and I am one of those lives. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from the beyond. Rumi. Part 2. The Reflection. The more you stop to observe and learn from animals, the healthier and more peaceful your life will be. Wayne Dyer. 3. The Looking Glass. While teaching a class called Kindness and Compassion for Animals to 6 to 8-year-olds at a local no-kill animal center, I asked the children to tell me which dog they were most drawn to and why. Olivia, with a huge, enthusiastic smile on her face, was the first one to raise her hand. She said with a giggle that the dog at the shelter she liked best was Harvey, because he was happy, fun and liked to play a lot. When I called upon the quiet child in the back of the room, who was sitting by himself, he said the dog he was drawn to was Chloe, because she just looked sad, like she needed a friend. The law of attraction in action. This was the law of attraction in its purest form. The young ones so easily expressed how they instinctively felt the unconscious pull of an animal that was energetically wired the same way they were. The truth is that you will always be attracted most to the animals that are like you in some way and have gifts to offer you for your growth. Your pets might have similar physical qualities, behaviors, and personalities as you. Or you might be attracted to animals that have the same emotional wounds that you do. There are many levels of attraction between you and your pets, and there are no mistakes about the animals who choose to share their lives with you, however brief the amount of time they spend with you might be. What do you see when you look at your animal? Think about how you describe your pet to people. When I first began working with animals and their people, because they go hand in hand, I couldn't help but notice that as they were describing their animals, they were frequently painting a picture of themselves. The beauty you see in your animal companion is also in you. Every unconditional drop of love you see and feel from them is a big part of why you're together. They're mirroring your divine self so that you can know how wonderful you are at your core, and you can begin to reveal more of your inner light and pay it forward. The beauty you see in your animal companion is also in you. And that is a nice stopping place as we come to the end of our program. Again, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact the station and ask them to call me or email me so I can respond. And as always, I wish you a beautiful, joyous, and peaceful new week, and I look forward to being with you next time on our Philosopher program.